Morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis 47. Then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds are all that they have come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they're in the land of Goshen." And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" They said to him, they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen, and if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many years have you lived?" So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojournings." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered. And Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones. Now there was no food in the land because the famine was very severe. So the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought, and Joseph bought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us food, for why should we die in your presence? For our money is gone." Then Joseph said, "Give up your livestock, and I'll give you food for your livestock, since your money is gone." And they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses and the flocks and the herds and the donkeys, and he fed them with food in exchange for all their livestock that year. And when that year was ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent, and the cattle are my lord's. There is nothing left for my lord except our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we and our land will be slaves to Pharaoh. So give us seed that we may live and not die, and the land may not be desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every Egyptian sold his field because a famine was severe upon them. Thus the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to the cities from one end of Egypt's border to the other. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had an allotment from Pharaoh, and they live off the allotment which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have today bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now, here is seed for you, and you may sow the land. And at the harvest, you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for those of your households, and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's slaves." And Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, valid to this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth. Only the land of the priests did not become Pharaoh's. Now Israel lived in the land of Egypt in Goshen, and acquired property in it, and were fruitful, and became very numerous. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time for Israel to die drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh, and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt. But when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And then he said, "I will do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." So he swore to him. Then Israel bowed in worship at the head of the bed. Amen. Okay, so this is the final culmination of Jacob's life. And so but we see Joseph's wisdom and his dealing with the Egyptians and the people around him. So notice the first thing, so Jacob's family settles in Goshen. Even though Joseph was so powerful, even though he was a man of esteem, even though he could take care of his family very well, he was a very wealthy man, He could do all these things, but he was always a man of honor. And even in this situation, he goes and basically does the right thing by presenting his family to Pharaoh, just as Pharaoh has asked. So he takes the five brothers with him, most likely in age, probably the older ones, and they turn to Pharaoh. And again, this conversation that Joseph had told them about before, when they say to you, say your servants are shepherds, and so that's what they reply. And so then they tell Pharaoh the whole thing, we've come to sojourn in the land, there's a great famine, and so we are here now, please let your servants live here in the land of Goshen. And then Pharaoh turns to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you, and he says the land is before you. All the goodness of Egypt are yours, it's all at your disposal, please settle them in the best of the land. And that's what really he gave them. The history books will tell you that he put them on the outskirts. It's the most fertile land in all of Egypt. There was the capital, we call it Hierapolis, but the Egyptians would call it On, and that was the capital. And this land is basically on the outskirts of the capital, and so it's the land of Ramses, the Valley of the Kings, basically. And so he settles them. I mean, Pharaoh's true to his word. This is, if you think about this context, this is how much respect that Joseph got from Pharaoh. I mean, this is pretty amazing to think about, that Pharaoh shows so much favor to a Jewish, a Hebrew slave. That is unheard of in this day and time. But we see, really, more than anything else, I think something that could really apply to us in our day and age is we see the unmerited favor of the Lord on Joseph's life. There's just something about the world, even, I'm talking about the ungodly, that showers so much favor on the godly. And that is nothing short than the blessing of God. That there is something so rich and so powerful about Joseph's relationship with the Lord that he is just so showered with that favor. This is something I pray for all the time. And this is, I mean, I'm not just talking about in my life. It's not really a self-centered prayer. But I pray all the time for our church and for the brothers and sisters in our church, what they would have so much of God's favor on their life that it would just seem ridiculous in some ways for them to receiving what they receive. I mean, think about Joseph for a bit. I mean, here's this snotty, arrogant, you know, basically mama's boy, and God just totally elevates him. I mean, he's sold into slavery. He has a gift of interpreting dreams, and a gift that God gave him, and he parlays that into these positions. Well, we know one thing about Joseph is Joseph is faithful. Remember Potiphar's house, and here is this gorgeous woman that throws himself at Joseph, and Joseph runs away, and he will endure prison. And has no issue with that instead of sinning before the Lord. And so I just want to show you a parallel, okay? In essence, here's the favor of God just continually to climb in Joseph's life. And probably you can attach on the same thing this idea of Joseph's faith, but his holiness as he just continues to seek after God. And it's so correlated to one another. In other words, Joseph does his part, and God does his part. Do you know what I mean? It's so important that we understand this relationship together. Joseph is faithful, and God is faithful. I mean, we should throw a wrench in that, because a lot of times, you know, like Paul says in Timothy, even though we're faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so God is above and beyond faithful, but a lot of times it's commensurate to our faithfulness as well. You know, sometimes, you know, I talk to young people, you know, about a lot of different things, and we'll talk about relationships for one. And, you know, and I'll just be really honest and frank. I said, you know, like, you want God to bless your relationships, but you're, like, basically, I mean, living with your girlfriend. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people come and they say, oh, PCM, I want to get married, and, you know, and all these things. And so, okay, you know, let's talk about this. And it's amazing that there's this major disconnect in their brain. And so, and they're asking God to bless the relationship. They're asking God to bring favor, you know, relationally and all these things. And yet they're sinning all the time. And, you know, I just kind of like, hey, man, it's like, I mean, you're asking God to bless your relationship, but yet you're like messing up like every chance you get in this relationship. You're not honoring God in it at all. You know, and then they, oh, yeah, yeah, it's true. Hopefully they repent. Sometimes they don't, unfortunately. But it's interesting how we have this kind of divorce in our mind about these matters. Joseph is faithful, and God is faithful. Joseph is righteous. He's holy, and God just continues to shower favor over him. This is the great thing about this whole equation. We don't have to worry about promotion, advancement, the favor of God. I mean, that's all in God's hands, and there's nothing really you can do for that anyway. But what we can focus on is what we can control ourselves. You know what I mean? I think that's I think it's a great deal, right? I mean, I can't control other people. I can't control, you know, my bosses or superiors that have all these decisions that make. I can't do any of these things. I mean, I could play the corporate rat race game, but, you know, that's not going to help at all. All I can do is I can control myself. You know, I can be intimate with God. Yeah, that's in your control. You know, I can walk in holiness. That's also in your control. I can choose to live my life in such a way that honors God all the time. That is also in your control. It's amazing how much influence that we have over our own lives. Now, there may be some things that are more difficult for you in some way, and if that's the case, man, you know, go get some healing, right? I mean, go sign up for a Cascade or a Cleansing Stream, or, you know, do something that takes care of a lot of your proclivities towards certain sins and devices. And you know, try to get your life in order. But these are things that we can control. And so we see how God is just so blessed Joseph in this way. And he says, look, the best of the land, all this stuff is yours, you can have everything. And in fact, and he says, in fact, if any of your kinsmen are good shepherds, you know, why don't they come and take care of my flocks? I mean, what an incredible honor for Joseph's men. Again, right, he knows nothing about this family. All Pharaoh knows is Joseph. But again, there's so much favor on Joseph. He's like, yeah, in fact, your brothers, I mean, I don't know what, you know, I mean, they could have ruined cattle, you know, in Canaan all these years, but it doesn't matter. You know, you guys, you come and you take care of my cattle. You take care of my livestock. And that's basically what happens. And then here's this interesting thing that happens here. Now, surely we can say, wow, Pharaoh is really being gracious, and he is, and all these things. But look what happens when Joseph brings Jacob into and presented him to Pharaoh, set him before Pharaoh. What does Jacob do? Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, if you look through some of the commentaries and you know, this passage and whatnot, you'll see that this is a very strange occurrence that takes place. Joseph, or Jacob, an elder man, comes into the presence. He's presented before Pharaoh. And generally, when that happens, you're supposed to bring a gift. You know, you're supposed to honor Pharaoh. But the flip side happens. And, I mean, there's an honoring that happens. But Jacob ends up maybe in some ways taking a senior position, and he actually blesses Pharaoh. This is the first instance in the scriptures that we have a king or a man of God, an Israelite, blesses a foreign king. And so he comes and he blesses him. He prays over him. The blessing, the idea is he wishes him well. But we know, we already know in this context that the idea of blessing was a very, very big, important event for the Israelites. Do you remember, you know, even Jacob has a very clear understanding of this when he stole his brother's blessing. Right, Esau's blessing through all this. And so this is something that is very cherished and prized in their culture. And what does Jacob do? Jacob goes into Pharaoh's house and Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Jacob prays for Pharaoh. Jacob calls upon the name of the Lord over Pharaoh. And Pharaoh receives it. I mean, this is, you know, if you think of the court and where Pharaoh's at and all these things, it's ridiculous for Jacob to do this, but he is such a man of God. And this gives us a little bit of clue into our lives today. You know, God has given us, the people of God, his sons and daughters, the incredible privilege of blessing one another. And in this context, even blessing pagans. I want to tell you, in your workplace, you know, where you're at, your job and whatnot, you are there to be a blessing. You are there to affect change in your firm. God, he didn't just randomly, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and put you in some place. He, by his design, in his wisdom and his creative order, he set you in your company, in your school, in your firm, you know, wherever you're working, or if you're at home, in your home. And the primary occupation as a child of God is to be a blessing, is to bless those that are around you. And you can do that in many ways. You can do that by sharing the gospel. You can do that by acts of service, random acts of kindness. You could do that primarily by praying and just changing the atmosphere in your offices by simply being that intercessor and just, you know, just doing amazing things in that place. And this is what Jacob does. Jacob goes and he blesses Pharaoh, a pagan king, a pagan ruler, because, you know, blessing has no bounds in this regard. And so Pharaoh is so shocked, blessed in many ways. He says, hey, how old are you? You have to remember that, again, this is another aspect of the favor of God. You have to realize that, I mean, Jacob being 130 years old, in Egypt, that is unheard of. I mean, that is unheard of to live that long. Even though Egypt was kind of a nicer place to live and you know whatnot, and didn't have the terrain and all that is out there in Canaan, but yet the favor of God was on this family somewhere. They live long lives. Obviously, Jacob lived less than his fathers have. And some people ask me, you know, why did people live a lot longer back then? You know, I really don't have any answers, but the really simple thing I can say is, remember when Paul writes in Romans that the wages of sin is death? And I think what you're seeing is, you're seeing, and literally sin brings death, and you're seeing the effect of sin and death mounting more and more and more and more. And so, and as a result of sin infiltrating the world more and more and more, the result is lives get shorter and shorter and shorter. That's just my take. I mean, you can take it or leave it. It's just, you know, I mean, it's not really that important anyway, but just my own thoughts about that, if you're wondering anyway. And so, so you see God's favor even over their line in the longevity in which they live their life. And so they come to this place. He says, I lived 130 years, and then Jacob blessed Pharaoh, in verse 10, and went out from his presence. And I, like I said, I think that is your primary job in the world. Every single one of us, we're to be a blessing to people around us. We're to be the blessing, you know, it could be evangelism, you know, very outright. But more than that, I think it's way more than that. I think personally, I think the blessing comes in all different shapes and forms. But we're supposed to make an impact of in people all around us that we meet. You know, something of God, something of the atmosphere of God, the presence of God, you know, meeting people, you know, where they're at. And I think that's why you're in the company that you're in. I think that's why, you know, you're in the family that you're in. It's not by any accident. God does nothing on accident. And everything that God does, he does with a purpose. And so it's important for us to recognize that. And so, you know, all these things happen. We see this whole episode of the famine and the Egyptians give up their livestock. This is kind of the history of Egypt and how Pharaoh becomes so powerful through this time. And then at the end, it says when Jacob was in the land and he was about to expire, he turns to Joseph because he knows Joseph has the power. I mean, imagine your dad doing this. How humble is this? And so he says in verse 29, this is what in seminary we call the holy handshake. It says, "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness and do not bury me in Egypt." This was Jacob's last plea, and we call it a holy handshake. When it says under my thigh, as basically in this kind of setting, they would basically grab each other's gonads. And I know that sounds really unhygienic and really gross and whatnot, but they would take your right hand and they would go under the thigh and they would grab the gonad. And basically what that meant is, man, I trust you with my life and I trust you with my inheritance. I trust you with my life and my future. Obviously, Jacob's not having any more kids at this stage, right? 147 years old. But that's how in this area, that's how they made oaths with one another. And you'll see this through and through. But it was the most serious oath that you could take with one another. All right, it simply said, "Joseph, I'm putting my life in your hands. You know, I'm asking you to swear on not only on my life, but on the life of your kids, your descendants, and whatnot." And so they would do this as a oath, a contract. It's nice that now we just have to sign papers, right? And that's how we do contracts. I think it's much easier to deal with. But this is probably much more romantic, or more, you know, it's more heartfelt in that way. And so he swears to him, and that's basically what happens later on, that his body does get buried with his father's. Okay, so let's close our eyes. As we talk about this idea of blessing, are you a blessed individual? You know, one thing, you know, ever since I became a Christian, I'm not bragging or anything like that, because I know it's nothing to do with me. It's the favor of God. But people have always commented, you know, around me that, "Sam, you are just so blessed." You know, and I often meditate upon that. Honestly, there's not much that I do to deserve it. It's kind of a grace. But I will say something, though. I try to be very careful about the way I live my life. I think there is a relationship between the blessing of God and holiness. I think there is a relationship between the blessing of God and righteousness. There's a relationship between blessing and faithfulness. A relationship between blessing and purity. You know, we're responsible for doing our part, and so we do our part. All right, we walk in intimacy. We let God figure out the rest, and trust me, all right, it happens. There's a great passage in 1 Samuel. And some of you guys, if you've seen that movie, Chariots of Fire, whenever I watch this scene, I always cry. And it's when Eric Liddell is about to run the race, and his American rival comes to him, who's also a Christian, and he hands him this note, and then Liddell runs with this note, and it's a quote from 1 Samuel, and it's so simple. it says that those that honor God, God honors. Right? What a powerful verse. So simple. That's what the prophet Samuel said. He said, it's just simply, those that honor God, God will honor. And this American sprinter basically was just saying, you know, Eric, if you know the whole story of Chariots of Fire, you know, he refused to run his race because it was a run on Sunday, being a very devout Christian. And so he ran another race, which is not even his race, and ended up winning the gold medal in the 24 Olympics in Paris. But it's this whole thing, and it became big news. I mean, he was an outcast in England and Scotland for not running for the Queen and all these things. But it's simply, those that honor God, God will honor. We don't need to focus on the God will honor part, because He will, He's faithful. Let's focus on our part of just honoring God in what we do, what we say, how we live our life, the way we treat people. That we can control, brothers and sisters. Let's do it. Let's sing and meditate.
Jesus died for me. This is how I know what love is. Though I'm a sinner, Christ laid down his life for me. And that's the greatest act of love in history, when my Jesus died for me. Oh, when my Jesus died for me. When my Jesus died for me, you showed me love.
Let's pray today, huh? Let's ask God about how we can be a blessing. Let's talk to the Lord about what it means to honor Him. Part of that is, don't focus on what you can get. Right? Focus on what you can give. It's always the best policy. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer. Let's ask for God's healing hand, His comfort, His power displayed in their life, and those in surgery and going through chemo or radiation therapy. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing and for God's salvation to flow. Let's pray for our community that's ill with non-cancer-related illnesses. And let's pray for recovery and just God's grace over their life. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's ask for God's provision in their life. So with our mission focus and Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our friends ministering in this wonderful city. Let's pray for the Lord to really begin to move in their life and really bring revival to this place. Let's pray. Let's pray over our missions committee. Let's ask for God's hand upon them and just a real grace. This Sunday, we actually have a mission speaker, Edie Clark, who runs the homes in China. Let's lift her up as well. She shares this Sunday. Let's pray for local outreach. Let's pray for our community center and Agape, the homeless ministry, the lights, freedom ministry, Mother's Choice, and Bridge. And let's pray for all our volunteers and our leaders that they would continue to be equipped and their heart would continue to lead in all of their activities. Let's lift up. Let's pray over the activities going on this evening. Let's pray for SPU, the college kids. I know Pastor Hyunsu should be back from his honeymoon soon. Let's pray for the river going on tonight. Pray for EG. We have a retreat starting tonight. We'll be going to Noah's Ark in Mawon. If you can cover, there's 12 people. Actually, everyone's going and passing. So I think one of the first times this happened. Pray for McCain House Church, DB House Church, and also pray for IP tonight. Let's lift up all the stuff that's going on tonight. Lord, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for visible, God, pictures and demonstrations of your favor. God, we believe, Lord, that you want to shower your favor upon us, God, even as you did to Joseph, Lord. God, help us to do our part, God, what we have control over, Lord, and just rely the rest on you. God, we just pray for Hong Kong today. I know the weather is really bad. We pray for the poor, God, and that are some that are unsheltered. We pray for your mercy and your covering over them, God, and keep them safe. Lord, bless this city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer.